this Mother's Day, I would like us to catch a glimpse of the story of Jochebed, as we often refer to her as, Moses' mom. Moses' mom had lived a life that is completely, not just because of the difference in nationality, but is completely foreign to us. The entirety of her existence was spent in slavery. To say she had a difficult life would be the understatement of the century. This woman lived in deplorable conditions. And yet, I believe that there is much for us to learn from her today. In fact, I would like for us to take a look at the extreme discipleship that she and her husband, Amram, chose to engage in order that their child would someday come to know and follow the God of heaven. And so the message this morning is not just for moms, it's for moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and children alike. Because discipleship is why we're here. Life touching life. Being a disciple making disciple of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to read Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 this morning, and we're going to read it in a somewhat amplified way. What I mean by that is I'm going to be adding some portions from other passages of Scripture to give detail to our text here in Exodus. This isn't the only place where these two individuals are mentioned, yet we don't have too much information about them. And so I've taken the other passages and fused them into this one to help us understand who these people are. You remember that Pharaoh was overwhelmed by the population explosion of the Hebrew slaves. And so he had commanded the midwives to kill all the male children when they were born. These God-fearing women disobeyed. And they wouldn't do it. At least they weren't doing it to Pharaoh's satisfaction. They would not murder these boys. And so Pharaoh took it a step further and commanded all of the Egyptians then, the soldiers, to cast every Hebrew son born into the Nile River. So as you're able, I'd like to ask that you stand this morning for the reading of God's Word. If you would please stand, we will read Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now, Amram was a man of the house of Levi. Remember that the Levites were a priestly tribe. They had a very specific role in the nation of Israel. Now, Amram, a man of the house of Levi, the priestly tribe, went and took as his wife Jochebed, a daughter of Levi. And the woman became pregnant and bore a son. And when she saw that he was exceedingly beautiful, again, not just from a mother's eyes, but he drew attention. When she saw that he was exceedingly beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark or a basket made of bulrushes, papyrus, which made it watertight, daubing it with bitumen and pitch. And she put the child in it and laid it among the rushes on the brink of the river Nile. Verse 4, the child's sister, Miriam is her name, stood some distance away to learn what would be done to him. Now the daughters of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the bank. And she saw the ark among the rushes and sent her maid to fetch it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby cried, and she took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse of the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called him Moses, for she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Amen. You may be seated. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. The details of it should hold our interest, but the question is, what would God have us to learn this Mother's Day from this passage and from this family? And I believe that there are three things that I would like to share with you here today that God would have us to make mention of and emphasize out of this passage. Certainly, the overarching theme is the fact that God can do whatever He wants. Pharaoh does not control this world. God does. That's not my first point. That's just the fact that we have to recognize as we come into a passage like this that God is in control and God is at work and God is working out a plan that is far above and beyond us. And our responsibility in that plan is to be faithful to what He has revealed. Now, three things. What are we to learn for this Mother's Day from Exodus chapter 2 and this family? The first thing I'd like us to see is this, is that Jochebed had a strong relationship with her husband. You say, where? I don't see it in this passage. Well, Amram and Jochebed both were from a priestly tribe. The Levites, historically, would be the Israelites who would be in charge of worship. They were the worship leaders. Their attention was given to the praise and glory of God. They didn't have other occupations. They had very specific and special instructions that would guide and govern their daily lives, where they lived and how they acted. They were a tribe set apart. They were a tribe that was consecrated to the service of God and the people in the tabernacle. And so you say, well, what is so interesting about the fact that this family was part of that tribe and had those responsibilities? Well, it will work very well into God's perfect plan for Moses as well as his brother Aaron, who will serve as Israel's high priest. So God, consistent in His plan, Aaron is going to continue with the responsibilities of the family. But that just involves pedigree. They were born into this family. Their heritage was strong. Their heritage was a blessing. But their heritage was a secondary point. What would happen? How would they respond to this heritage and to this calling? That's what really matters. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 says this, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. They were not afraid of the king's command." They were not afraid of the king's command. So we see two important characteristics of their marriage. Again, it's not so much that you're born into a Christian family. It's not so much that you're born into a specific church. What are you going to do with that? It's not so much that you're born Levite. What are you going to do with that? And Hebrews 11 teaches us two very important characteristics about their marriage. First of all, they were people of faith. This was a marriage built on faith. Together, they trusted in someone outside of themselves to make life work. To be a couple of faith in a lifetime of slavery, to raise children, Aaron and Miriam, to raise children for the Lord in this environment required a great deal of faith. God had a plan, and Amram and Jochebed together submitted themselves to it. Do not think that theirs was the life of the cute little house on the corner with the picket fence. Do not think that theirs was the life where dad went off to work and mom kept house and the kids trotted off to school and came back at the end of the day. Theirs was a life of horror. And their marriage stood strong. Because they were a man and a woman, they were a couple of faith. God had a plan and they together submitted to it. Question for us, how is your togetherness? How is your togetherness? How is your walk of faith together? Again, remember, it wasn't enough to be Levite. It wasn't enough to come to Wausau Bible Church. It wasn't enough to have Christian parents. What were they going to do with that? What are you doing with what you have? How is your walk of faith together? How are you actively protecting your marriage from the attacks of the wicked one? Don't forget this, that your marriage represents something far greater than you. The Bible is clear that our marriage, long before the cross and the church were on the tongues of people, God set up, this is man, this is woman. They will leave their father and mother and cleave unto each other. And thousands of years later, it was revealed, this is a mystery. It is a picture of Christ in His church. God in His plan all along has designed His institution of marriage to be a living parable to this world. That this husband and this wife is a picture of something far greater than anything we could imagine here on earth. It is the picture of a Savior who will never, ever, ever depart from His bride. His eyes are continually on her. She is His focus to the glory of God. That is how it was designed to be. Your marriage and mine are a picture, whether people see it or not, whether they understand the parable or not. Oh, and by the way, who typically did not understand the parable? The lost world. The parables were for those who would hear, primarily for believers. And so this parable continues on. And yet how many do not walk by faith in their marriage? And they try in their own efforts, this or that, to keep things alive in their marriage and to keep things going, and to keep that commitment. Oh, how sad it is when you hear We do this for the kids. The kids are not what is supposed to keep a marriage together. Faith is. How is your togetherness? How's your walk of faith together? What do you do to protect it, to nurture it? Are you talking about God's Word? Are you reading Scripture? Are you praying together? Are you enjoying the Lord? Are you saying, honey, I've got to tell you what God did today? Or, honey, I need you to pray that God would today. Are you walking by faith together? Because there may come a time when our faith is tested and our marriages are attacked. And we haven't experienced it like Amram and Jochebed. Our marriages are being attacked socially. Your faith may be being attacked socially. The physical generally hasn't come yet. Amram and Jochebed knew what it meant to stand for God. They had the scars to show it. Your faith will be a determining factor in whether or not your marriage will last. And so Amram and Jochebed, by faith, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, and they were not afraid of the king's command. They were a people of faith. Second characteristic of their marriage was this, that they were a people of love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Amram and Jochebed were not afraid of the king's command. Now, that verse does not imply that they were not aware of the great sacrifice that they may have been making, of the torment, that the further torment that may come. But simply put, because of their faith, they were resting in the love of their father. Commentator F.B. Meyer says this, and I don't know if this is fantastical in what he's writing, if it's a bit of a fantasy. But this could very well be. He says of this couple, they launched the ark not only on the Nile, but on God's providence. Now, I don't disagree with that at all. He says this, he would be the captain, the convoy of the tiny ark. Miriam stood watch. And then he says this, there was no fear of fatal consequences, only the quiet expectancy that God would do something worthy of himself. Now, I don't know if there was no fear of fatal consequences. My guess is there was quite a bit of concern. However, a life of faith leads us to watching God, to see him do something worthy of himself. This is why the division of a marriage relationship, the splitting, the tearing apart of a husband and wife, is to be totally discouraged and abandoned by God's people. Because what is it that God does best? He reconciles. He puts together and keeps together what man and woman cannot do. And Meyer nails it when he says that with expectancy, I don't know how quiet their expectancy was, but with expectancy, they looked to what God would do, something worthy of himself. God is the one who keeps. God is the one who saves marriages. God is the one who did this. Meyer continues, they reckoned on God's faithfulness and they were amply rewarded when the daughter of their greatest foe became the babe's patroness. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Amram found a good wife, a godly wife, and the favor of the Lord rested upon his home. Interesting to note, that favor of the Lord was not in the absence of trials, but with increasingly unified faith through those trials. They were a people of faith. They were a people of God's love. How different life might have been for this couple had Amram and Jochebed not heeded the warnings of Scripture. The wisdom of Scripture goes like this, Proverbs 21:9, "Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman." The wisdom writer continues, "Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman." The wisdom writer continues in Proverbs 19:13, "The contentions of a wife are a continual dripping." He goes on to say, "Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." Here's my point. If Jochebed was a contentious, angry woman, she would not be considered a woman of faith. She could not have done what keeping a baby hidden for 3 months would require. Nor would she have been able to follow through with this plan in loving unity with her husband. She would have contended with him and tried to thwart all attempts at a life of God-honoring faith. But she valued her marriage and she was a godly wife. They stood together, Hebrews tells us, against, in those days, the ruler of the world. They stood together. So our first point is this, is that Jochebed had a strong relationship with her husband. She was a woman of faith and a woman of love. Point number two, Jochebed's faith led her to do what was best for her children, not for herself. Did you see that in Scripture? She was led to do what was best for her children, not for herself. See, the Bible doesn't say what strengthened her faith, exactly what it was, but we have to admit that Amram and Jochebed did some pretty dangerous things. Keeping the child safe for 3 months. Have you been with a newborn? They are not quiet. But they hid this child for 3 months. 3 months was all it took because it came to a point where they could not hide him anymore. Little boys. I got experience with little boys. They are not quiet. They did some pretty dangerous things. They kept the child and then they sent the child. I don't know how much you've thought about that. About placing that baby in that little makeshift boat. Say, yeah, well, she's a mom. Moms do that kind of stuff. Maybe. But I don't think parental love alone would cause them to do what they did. And what about everyone else's parental love? There weren't a bunch of little boats floating down the Nile. There was one. I'm sure efforts were made, but the Bible hones in on this particular family. These are horrible, wicked, painful times for people to live in. Extreme brutality, constant labor, poor living condition as slaves, little food, impure water, interrupted rest. A lifetime of bondage was the standard. And that was the expectation for all new babies born to the Hebrews. You will grow up to be a slave. there was no dreaming of what might be. For many hundreds of years, this was the pattern. You will be a slave. And you will live in the same painful conditions, deplorable conditions that your mom and dad and your grandma and grandpa and theirs did. I don't know what was going through the minds of those parents. For some of them, I'm sure they conceded and said, you know what? As horrible as this is to think, better to die now and go be with the Lord than to face a life of slavery here in Egypt. Again, I don't know. But in those immoral, inhumane, and hostile conditions, you can be assured that there were all kinds of ideas floating through their minds. So when Amram and Jochebed made the decision to protect their child, their lives were on the line. All of them were in danger. All of the Hebrews were in danger based because of what was going on here. Amram and Jochebed would not have been looked upon as heroes. Yeah, follow Amram and Jochebed. No, they were like, are you crazy? Do you know what could happen to all of us? If the Egyptians find out that what you're doing is going directly against their commands? They were not looked at as heroes. So what is it that strengthened their faith? Did God speak to them in a dream? Did God give them a vision? Did he send an angel? Did they remember some promise to some long ago relative? God doesn't tell us. The Bible doesn't share with us that information. But whatever it was, by faith, they believed God and they followed through by doing something that risked every creature comfort that they had ever known. Amram and Jochebed had to live by faith. They had to live by conviction. And by conviction, they knew what was right. Even the potential fear and threat of knowing that they could lose their lives didn't dissuade them. So what did they do? They put their lives and their people's lives on the line because they were convicted to trust the faithfulness of their God. They were convicted to trust the faithfulness of God. So Jochebed had a strong relationship with her husband. Her faith led her to do what was best for her children, not herself. Proverbs 31:15, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And what is the result? Proverbs 31:28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So her marriage was strong. Her children were cared for. Even Moses was cared for. But I want you to notice one last thing. It is a very regular happening that people fall into the trap of raising children to stay close by. And so the thinking goes, hey, this is great. When they grow up, they can work near us and live by us and keep the grandkids close. And life will be perfect as long as we all stay together. Number three, Jochebed raised Moses to leave. That is the most succinct way I can put it. Jochebed knew something about Moses. She knew he wouldn't be staying. She raised him to leave. Now, we see this as a testimony of several parents in the scriptures. Moms, as difficult as it is to accept and keep this perspective, it is the very reason why Amram and Jochebed are in the great hall of faith in Hebrews 11. It was not their plan for Moses, it was God's plan for Moses. They knew that Moses was a gift from God and that they were not owners of this child. They were stewards of this heritage. They were stewards of the blessing. Raise your children to leave. If they stay close, you've got extra blessing. But raise them to leave, meaning wherever God has for them. Raise them to go. Raise them to impact this world for Christ. Raise them to follow and engage in His plan, not theirs, and certainly not yours. It was Jochebed's love, it was her faith, and it was her courage that followed God's plan to save her child from a cruel death and to preserve him to then be used by God to be a blessing to the world. And that's what happened. He was used by God to be a blessing to the world. Amram and Jochebed didn't know that. They just knew, God, you've got something different for our little Moses. Help us to be faithful. So in a still troubled world, there are Egypt situations today. In our world, there are Egypt situations. There are scenarios that are absolutely horrible. We have a difficult time even imagining them. And we say, how do people live there? By God's grace, we're not experiencing it. But in a still troubled world, a mother who loves the Savior and walks by faith will be concerned for their child's life. I think that goes without saying. But they will be far more concerned with their child's soul. Does that child see God? And does that child see the faith of a mom and a dad who are trusting God with their marriage and with their family? And that godly mom will rest in the assurance that Jochebed's God still lives. And Jochebed's God is able to save her dear ones from eternal death. Jochebed's God can do that. Your kids' most important, most necessary influence from you, the message that must be taught, that must be preached, that must be lived, is that our God is faithful and our God is in control of these things. Moms who disciple well, because this is God's world. God has a plan. My plan takes back seat to whatever he is doing. So Amram and Jochebed were, if we can use New Testament terminology, Amram and Jochebed were gospel-centered parents before the gospel was ever clearly defined. So the question is, will you commit to a strong marriage? A marriage that's based on faith, walking with God. Will you commit to sacrificing for your children? And will you commit to sacrificing your children, trusting God with their departure? I can speak from experience. It's a hard thing to say, okay, time to go. But this is what you've trained them for. This is what you've raised them for. To go. Serve God. Lord, protect me from those reins which want to pull them back. Amram and Jochebed, they didn't pull back. And when the opportunity was then given to raise this son for a little bit longer, Jochebed knew she was raising this son to be in someone else's family. Let him go. Certainly, that kind of discipleship is radical. That kind of discipleship is extreme in our sin-bent world. That kind of discipleship is challenging, even in our homes of faith. But moms who disciple well have a strong and growing relationship with their spouse, are led to do what is best for their children, and raise their children to leave, trusting the Lord every step of the way. Would you bow in prayer with me this morning? Father, I am thankful for the examples of couples like this. It is so easy for me just to read through a passage and think, okay, yeah, that's what they did. And I forget that they had great heartache. The life was difficult for them because of their experiences. They were slaves. And yet, even as slaves, they trusted you, and it was evident that they lived by faith, knowing that you would do exactly what you needed and wanted to do. So God, we're not saying that there weren't tears. We're not saying that they didn't at times have those difficult conversations and second-guess their decisions. But God, all along the way, you upheld them and you strengthened their faith. We don't even know if they saw your accomplishments through their son. They were probably in heaven by that time. But God, not knowing what you were going to do, didn't dissuade them. They faithfully walked with you. May we learn the same. As husbands, would we lead our families well by the truth of the Scriptures? As fathers, I pray that we would take the time to communicate gospel truth to our kids in a loving way. May they see it in us, the hope of eternal life. For our moms, God, I pray that you would give them a peace and a serenity among the chaotic circumstances of each and every day. That no matter what's happening around them, they know, God, you are in control. I pray that they would make time for their husbands and for their relationship with their spouse. And I pray that they would lead their children well, giving those children every opportunity to choose Christ. And I pray that as our kids grow, that we would not be a hindrance to them going. We would train them well to go and serve you wherever it is you have for them. And I pray that we as parents would be okay with that. Like Amram and Jochebed, trusting you each step of the way. We praise you and thank you for these truths, these lessons. And God, I pray your blessing on our families. Help us to do all for your glory, which amazingly turns out for our good. In Jesus' name, we can pray these things. Amen.